The Public News Service Daily Newscast for January the 15th, 2020. I'm Mike Clifford. Six Democratic contenders debated in Iowa Tuesday night. The debate focused first on foreign policy and choices to wage war, both past and present. In the background, USA Today notes the debate occurred as Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are locked in a bitter dispute over whether Sanders claimed a woman cannot beat Trump in 2020. USA Today adds the latest polling shows a very tight contest in Iowa. Joe Biden, Sanders, Warren, and Pete Buttigieg bunched at the top. Governor Ron DeSantis and Republican legislative leaders tout a booming economy, low unemployment, and reduced taxes, while observers say the true state of the state is bleak for working families. More from Tramell Gomes.
DeSantis delivered a wide-ranging speech on accomplishments in education, healthcare, and the environment. In response, Democrats say it focused mostly on the wealthy and politically well-connected. Rich Templin with the Florida AFL-CIO says the real issues were overlooked. He notes over a 17-year period, the average Floridian has only seen a $1.27 increase in their real wages.
We have 2 million people without access to health care. We have 445,000 children with no access to health care. The economy that they talk about, it isn't working for most people.
Progressive lawmakers and advocates gave what they dubbed the people's response to the state of the state, calling attention to their sunshine agenda, their name for a set of proposals that work for all Floridians, which includes expanding Medicaid.
DeSantis told lawmakers he wants to raise the minimum salary for teachers to $47,500. Meantime, Governor Andy Beshear and groups that work to end hunger are rallying today in Frankfort, highlighting the fact that one in seven Kentuckians is considered food insecure.
Scotty Lee is a third-generation Western Kentucky farmer who participates in the Farms to Food Banks program run by the group Feeding Kentucky. He's paid to haul his leftover fruits and vegetables to regional food banks. Since the program began in 2011, more than 21 million pounds of local produce has been distributed to Commonwealth residents. Lee says it's a win-win solution for reducing hunger.
You know, the average person might not realize that this produce that we're salvaging, putting in this Farms to Food Bank program, this is probably some of the most nutrient-dense food that those people that are in need are going to be able to get a hold of.
Farms to Food Banks is funded by a state budget appropriation of $500,000 annually. Private donors such as Farm Credit Mid-America and the Novak Family Foundation. I'm Nadia Ramlagan.
This is PNS. Workers at New York's transportation hubs went to Albany Tuesday to tell lawmakers there they need to get help for high-quality health insurance while serving the public.
Low-wage workers from JFK, LaGuardia, and Stewart International Airports, Grand Central and Pennsylvania stations, and the Port Authority bus terminal say they are forced to rely on taxpayer-funded programs because they can't afford the health insurance plans provided by the subcontractors they work for. Jordani Bueno-Vasquez is a wheelchair attendant at LaGuardia Airport and a member of SEIU Local 32BJ. He has epilepsy and says he may have to choose between paying medical bills or paying the rent.
Like an incident where I have a seizure and they call the ambulance and they take me to the hospital, I have to pay the hospital bill and the ambulance bill. But those are like unexpected costs that happen.
The workers want lawmakers to pass Senate Bill 6266, the Healthy Terminals Act, which would provide thousands of workers with benefit supplements compensation. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
Without the bill, the union says medical expenses could push some workers into bankruptcy. Nine conservation groups have just filed suit against the Trump administration. It's an attempt to stop a plan to open up more than 1 million acres of public land in Central California to drilling and fracking. Mark Rose with the National Parks Association says the feds want to plow ahead anyway.
Throughout this process, BLM really ignored our comments and really just pushed through this plan without looking at all the different impacts, not only on our national parks, but to some of the most impacted communities in the nation when it comes to air quality.
The BLM recently announced it is lifting a moratorium on oil and gas leases. And finally, Eric Tegetthoff reports in his State of the State address, Washington Governor Jay Inslee called on lawmakers to make affordable housing and ending homelessness their top priorities this session.
Inslee says the entire state is facing a crisis. Last month, he proposed using $300 million from the Rainy Day Fund to add 2,100 emergency shelter beds and expand housing programs. Michelle Thomas with the Washington Low Income Housing Alliance says she appreciates the governor's commitment in his speech to embrace big ideas.
We have a crisis, but we also have an opportunity to show the rest of the country a path out, a pathway forward. It's going to take more than just investments in emergency shelter, but I really like the way that the governor is starting this conversation.
Thomas says her group also would like to see the state add more investments in permanent supportive housing. Legislative leaders say tapping the state emergency fund isn't likely since it requires a two-thirds majority vote. Republicans say the state already has the funds needed to work on this issue.
Inslee also spoke about the need for action on climate change in the address. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and you will find us online at publicnewsservice.org.